was a time that I swore I would never go back. One of the more common objections I hear to church or chapel is the experience is dull, miserable, with dreadful singing and completely hopeless. I mean, asking men to go and stand up in a crowd and sing, whoever heard of that being something you'd want to do on the weekend? Well, let me stop you there. See, I'm not convinced by this argument. Here's a little bit of footage I shot recently at the rugby, where approximately 71,250 people travelled a rather long way in many cases and paid upwards of £40 each, I amongst them, for the privilege. Given what so often goes on in chapel, for me this is raising the question as to why men, women too, obviously, find it very acceptable, inspiring, helpful to gather in public, lift up their voice where others can hear the dilapidated state of their own musicality and sing this song. Well, you might say it's inspiring. Yep. Rooted in verifiable truth, there's some measure of historical content, that's true. It's a rallying song, raising a banner to gather to. Rejoices in a shared identity. Builds what we all long for and lack, particularly in our modern Western culture. Togetherness, camaraderie, community, in short, shared identity. And that shared identity brings us a feeling of security. Strength together. A measure of peace. Now, of course, singing at the rugby is also inclusive and not elitist. It involves the crows and the canaries amongst us. I know at the rugby they always seem to have somebody out the front with an operatic voice to set the melodious standard we're all supposed to follow. Nice idea. But that's as far as it goes, because what normally follows is far from refined and melodious. The door is wide open to both crows and canaries. Passion is what it's about. Volume, of course, is part of that. And it's about playing your part and being together in the job. Passion. And that's so often the first thing you notice that makes singing in chapel a poor and off-putting experience. Passion's not there. But the first thing then, the thing of first importance when we're trying to solve that problem, is what you're impassioned by. The rugby, the choir of crows and canaries, everybody together, struck up with Land of My Fathers. My hen lard van adai, an unwilly me, glad bair the chantorion, and wogion of ri, I gurol ravelwir, glad garwir tramad, trus rudid gollasant igwaid. I no doubt some of us are already making an emotional response to that. What does it mean? See, there's the emotion, where's the point? This land of my fathers, dear to me, land of poets and singers and people of stature, her brave warriors, fine patriots, shed their blood for freedom. Steady on, boys. It's a new game of rugby. Oh, they're on a roll now. Glad, glad, ploid your loivim glad. Tramor and vir ibir hoff by. Obadid ireniaeth barai. Land, land, true to my land. As long as the sea serves as a wall for this pure, dear land, may the language endure forever. Well, it's sheer emotion on the day, probably, because not only do most people not understand the words they're singing, they've only learned the sounds by ear, and they're certainly not pronouncing them correctly either, in my experience. No, the crows and the canaries exercise license to sing at the rugby because of the emotion behind it and what they feel that creates for them. It's inspiring. It's rooted in verifiable truth. There's some measure of that historical content. It's a rallying song, raising a banner to gather. And it rejoices in that shared identity, that community that we lack in our Western culture, shared identity and the sense of security. And you're going to say, it's not like that in chapel. Well, Chapel's getting something wrong then. According to Psalm 100, which helps us navigate our way through this thing about awful singing in church. Oh yeah, Psalm 100 starts off brilliantly well. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. And that word shout there, let me just tell you, that Hebrew word means shout, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. But it's not just calling for emotions, you see. You've got to get the source of it right, the source of the thinging. Three great things there in verse 3 of that Psalm 100. The Lord, the God we are in covenant relationship with, he is the actual God. So the one we worship is the real deal, and that's something to shout a joyful song to God about. Secondly, he's the one who's made us, fashioned us, produced us, and something flows from that. What flows from that is that we are his people, his flock, the people he shepherds. So you're not shouting to God out of a void like a person who in their desperation has gone up a mountain to scream. You're shouting together a joyful song to the Lord because of what you know to be true about God in your relationship to him. And it's a rallying song, a banner to gather to, because his people know they're in this together. And it builds what we all long for and lack, particularly in this modern Western culture. That togetherness, camaraderie, community, rejoicing in a shared identity. We're his flock. And because we're his flock, we find security, strength together, peace together, from another place, from God, our Creator himself. So there's my word for the week. Psalm 100 verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Why? Because in relationship with him, we know that the Lord is God. Our God is the real deal. It's he who made us, which means we are his. He is committed to us as those he's made. And that makes us his people. The sheep of his pasture, which means the ones that he shepherds and looks after. And in that, even in the hard experience when the flow of the game is against us, we find that rallying point, that rallying cry, that coming together with him and with those who are with us in it. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Trying to walk on my own, but I'm wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross.